of us who were here in the spring, we looked at Daniel chapter 9. And then, if you read, you don't have to turn to it right now, but in Daniel chapter 9, the focus is really on those 70 weeks. And we discussed it then, and there's a verse there that says, 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city. And we discussed then that that referred specifically to Daniel's people, for the Jews, and to Jerusalem, the holy city. We also realized that out of the 70 weeks, we've sort of covered 69 weeks, and we believe that right now, we are living in that period of time between the 69th week and Daniel's 70th week, the church. So our exercise for today is to focus on the church, on what is the future of the church. And one of the things that we see is that the Lord Jesus promised that he was going to return. And today's focus is on the imminent return of the Lord Jesus. And it really, when you look at this and you realize that this truth was actually was taught in the first century. And when you look at the early believers were actually taught this truth then, with the realization and the expectation that the Lord could come back then. So, you know, the exercise of our hearts today is to recapture that thinking. Remember that in reality, not in theory, and this is very important, we all know the Lord is coming back. But the challenge for our hearts, that was mentioned earlier, the real challenge of our hearts is that every day, every single day of our lives, that we, when we do wake up, would realize, you know, the Lord came back today. For real. He honestly could come back today. And that we should be living in a way that we are expecting him to come back at any time. So that really is the exercise of our hearts. To get it in our hearts. Not in, just in our heads. But truly in our hearts. The young and old. A real, genuine, burning desire for him to return and waiting for him to return. So as we go through the day, we've got it broken down into some sections. This morning, you will see that we're going to look at the scriptures that relate to his promise of his coming. There's another aspect of it that we want to just touch on, relates to the fact that we may be looking for him to return, but what about his desire to return? So we want to look at that as well. We're going to look back at the first century believers and see what their thoughts were. And then in the afternoon, God willing, our desire is to basically look at the future of the church. When he does return and he takes us to be with himself, what happens to us then? You know, there's a lot of speculation about what will happen on earth during the tribulation period. But what about us? Where will we be? And so therefore, we want to look at some of those scriptures in the afternoon period. And then finally, in the evening period, if we, you know, we're still here, we want to actually then look at what impact should this truth, what impact should this be having on me now, today? I just want to make another point that this is just a suggested outline. It's not like we're going to be stuck to it rigidly. If the Spirit of God leads us, gives us something that, you know, if it's really from him, that's what we want. So I just want to mention, and one last point I'm going to make before sitting down. There was a speaker on the radio who is with the Lord right now. He used to say, put the cookies on the lower shelves. Okay, people heard McGee, right? Vernon McGee? Yeah. Keep the cookies on the lower shelf. Our desire today is to make sure that we want everybody, whether we are younger or older, to get the gain of what we are saying. We don't want to be so up here that nobody understands but yourself. We just trust that the Lord will help us to make it plain and simple. So that the youngest of us, the oldest of us, can be in the good of it. That's what we've been trying to nurture here for many years, and I think the Lord has helped us. So that's my introduction. Brother Bill is going to read the scriptures for us to start.
We're just going to read a few of the beginning verses, and the brethren can take it from there. In John chapter 14, verse 3, the verse there, John 14:3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And then over to Acts chapter 1. And verses 10 and 11. And this is to emphasize that he is returning. Acts 1, 10 and 11. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. And then 1 Thessalonians in chapter 1. Verses 10 and 11. 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 9 and 10. Chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned from God to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Thus far.
Just a comment about the promise of the coming of our Lord Jesus in John 14. John 14. Verse 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, now the preparation was done at Calvary's cross initially, but the full final preparation was there's a man in heaven. That's the preparation. There's a literal, physical, glorified man in heaven. The place is prepared. And we might go there too and have bodies of glory just like the Lord Jesus. I go to prepare a place for you, the cross of Calvary initially, back up into heaven completely. The place is prepared. And he says, I'm going to prepare for you. I will come again and receive you. The you doesn't mean an individual Christian. I come and receive the Christian company unto myself, that where I am, the Christian company may be also. Now, we apply it individually, but it's the Christian company. It's going to come for us, the Christian company. See, there are many families. Paul says, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whom every family in heaven and earth is named. Now, the nearest family is the assembly. The church. Incidentally, the church is Christ's chief interest. It's his Christ's chief interest. He loved the assembly and delivered himself up for it. So when we break bread on Lord's Day, I don't come as a sinner saved by grace. That's very nice. That's all I am. But I'm there as part of the assembly, as one of his brethren, to remember him in the breaking of the bread. So think of it collectively. The you and ye is always plural, never singular. Otherwise, they'll say ye, thou, and thine. So it's coming for us as the Christian company. Isn't that lovely? And he's prepared a place. No interior decorating. He's not up there preparing anything. The preparation is already made when he went to the cross of Calvary, laid down his life, and then ascended back up into heaven. Now that there's a man in heaven, the place is prepared. Just those comments.
His work on the cross prepared us for the place.
Right.
But his presence as man in heaven prepares the place for us.
That's right. Good to say that.